Good morning. Welcome to the Franklin Street Church of Christ. It's a wonderful day for us to be here. God has certainly graced us with his presence and allowed us to definitely live in his favor. There are a lot of things that are going on in life today. Certainly things that come to mind or this pandemic that we're in right now, especially the civil unrest that's going on as well over the past week. And in times like that, we need to understand that sometimes we can slip away from those things that are most important to us because our minds are clouded with other things. Other things seem to just get in the way. So just by way of reminder, I'd like to speak to us today concerning the things that God has called us to, that we might remember and we might live as well. The title of today's lesson is called All Things. In all things, be reminded. In all things, be reminded. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 4 through 6 says these words. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for testimony to those things which were to be spoken of after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope, firm until the end. And when we think back to our childhood home, memories of times good and sometimes not so good are held in our hearts. We always think about our childhood home. And no matter the circumstances, no matter what time of day, no matter what station in life that we are, what the situation was, we are family. And that house was our home. That house became our foundation. And oddly enough, when you think back, after all those years, we still seem to remember where we came from. And what's funny to me, I laugh sometimes, is that most of us can even remember what the address is. After all that time, you know the house number and the street that home was on. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, Paul says to the young preacher, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Paul called the church of the living God. He referred to it as the house of God. And this word house is not used in the sense to refer to a physical building. It's used to refer to the family of God. The same house refers to the family of Noah in Hebrews 11:7, where the Hebrew writer says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, that is his family, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith of God. There are a number of reminders about the church which can be gleaned from these scriptures and compared as we live our lives as well to God. This morning, I want to consider four of those comparisons. We need to be reminded when we think about our homes and our families and all those things that are going on in the outside world, the turmoil and the unrest, the pandemic. We need to be reminded in the midst of all this, lest we forget that God is our Father. Those who are members of the family of God have the privilege of calling God their Father. There are only two spiritual families. One is either a member of the family of God, which God is the Father, Ephesians 3, 14 and 15, or your family of Satan with the devil as your father, John 8, 44. Sometimes someone will ask, do I have to be a member of the church in order to be saved? Well, my answer is this. In as much as the church is the family of God, and there are only two spiritual families, the answer is easily perceived. You cannot go to heaven when you die being a child of the devil, being in his family. You can only go to heaven as a child of God. And for that reason, one must be a part of the family of God. You must be a part of the church of the living God. In order to go to heaven when you die, you cannot be a part of any family except the family of God. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. To imply that one can go to heaven without being a part of the family of God is to imply that God has children outside of his family, which is nothing but spiritual adultery. When God commands us not to commit adultery or fornication, why would God be a part of spiritual adultery? There are no children of God outside of God's family, and we need to be reminded of that God is our Father. We need to be reminded that Christians are brothers and sisters. All this stuff that is going on around us, it's easy to adopt the attitudes of this world. But we need to be reminded that we are brothers and sisters. All Christians are children of God and brothers and sisters of each other. Jesus said, all brethren, in Matthew 23 and verse number 8, all ye are brethren. In contrast, an arrangement in which one is greater than the other. Somebody want to be greater than the other one, but he says, listen, y'all all brothers, y'all all sisters in Christ. A spirit of brotherly love should always exist among us as Christians. Whether we're fearful, whether we're calm, whether there's peace, whether there's unrest, no matter what's going on, a spirit of brotherly love should always exist amongst those of us who are Christians. In 1 John 5:1, John says, whosoever believed that Jesus the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. We refer to each other in the church as brother or sister. And sometimes, even in the church, our sibling rivals get out of hand, and in the church, we tend to treat each other like enemies. When we call one another brother or sister, let us be sure that we treat each other as God, our Father, would have us to be treated, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Galatians 6:2. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Because in a family, the members rejoice in each other's successes. And we cry when it's time to cry. And we rally to the support of any member who is sick, rally to those who are weak, and we rally to those who are going astray. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family, and we need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded that Christians should be obedient children. You have some children and families that like to wake up every morning just to rebel against their parents. Something about authority that they just can't seem to get a hold on. But as children of God, we should be obedient children. Peter said to the Jews of dispersion in 1 Peter 1:13 and 14, wherefore gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. And to the church of Ephesus, Paul says, the wrath of God is directed against children of disobedience. What about you? Are you obedient to God? Are you an obedient child? In the midst of all these things that are going on right now, has your mind taken you away from the fact that we need to obey God rather than man? Is your heart set on worship as the Father directs, or has this pandemic pushed you away from the glorification of our God? How about your Bible study? Have you been reading and studying your Bible as the Father has directed us? What better time to do it? You can't go anywhere. We are right there. We are home in a place of safety and security. And what better place to be than to be home with God, immersed in his word and learning to do those things that he's called us to do? How about teaching others the gospel as God has directed? Are we obedient in that way? Are we obedient, or are we a disobedient child of God? We need to be reminded that it's better to sacrifice than to obey. It's better to be obedient to God in all things. Your obedience is your sacrifice, is what James says. Let's obey God. Let's be obedient children. We need to be reminded, more than anything else, we wear the family name. Man, when your children go out there in the world and smear your name, it causes us a lot of sadness. It makes our hearts just so melancholy that we just can't seem to take it. And our children will do that from time to time. But we wear the family name. As a child of the Father, We ought to know that it is a privilege to wear the family name, because you didn't give it to yourself. God gave us that name, gave it to us. And how privileged am I? How privileged are you to wear the name of Christ? Just to be known as a Christian. And that name, Christian, implies that I'm Christ-like even in my conduct, in my speech. How about you? Are you a Christian? And I want you to understand, I didn't ask, have you been baptized? Because it's a big difference that a lot of people have been baptized. Even babies have been baptized. But have you been baptized in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to the way the word Christian implies? Can you imagine someone who has no heart at all, weak-willed and weak-kneed, has no drive whatsoever, and his name is Rocky? Can you imagine a morally upright and godly young lady who's above reproach being called Jezebel? The name and the character, it just doesn't fit. So what does the name Christian mean to you? Does it fit you? Do you wear the name of God in a way that is pleasing to him? You have been honored. Let me remind you. You have been honored to wear the name of Christ. And the question this morning is, how are you wearing it? Does it fit you? We've got a lot of blessings, church. A lot of blessings that come to us from God. And those blessings are available only to members of the household of God, of his family. And they're not available to those who are outside of the family of God. As members of God's family, a Christian enjoys these benefits. We enjoy a benefit of being an heir of God. Romans 8, 15 through 17, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. We have a living hope of an inheritance which is incorruptible. A living hope of an inheritance that's undefiled. A living hope of an inheritance that fades not away. It's reserved in heaven for us. How much richer are our blessings coming from God than those that come from the world? Because what people don't seem to realize, and they don't talk about it a lot, is Satan will give you things too. But it doesn't work out for your benefit. Here's an example. Most of us can understand the blessings of being an heir of a rich man and inheriting all those things that he's worked all of his life and left to you. We understand that. So how much more should we treasure being the heir of God? For our God is greater than any man, and he owns all things on this earth, even the cattle upon a thousand hills. Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, is the heir of our salvation. What more of a blessing can we inherit than that? Eternal life with God, away from all this turmoil and these house burnings and these riots and even the pandemic. Every now and then we got to escape, and we've got to just have our minds set on the things of Christ. We've got to go home spiritually and just be with God. What a wonderful blessing that is. We also have access to God as our Father. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, Matthew chapter 6. He reminded us of God's care for his children. In Matthew 7, 9 through 11, the Bible reads, or what man is there of you whom if his sons ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts, heaven give good things to them that ask him? We should recognize that Christ opened up the way whereby any man can approach God. What a wonderful blessing that is. The Hebrew writer said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That is a privilege of God's children. And those who are not members of the family of God do not enjoy this privilege of sonship. It just doesn't happen. What about the provisions of God? What wonderful blessings do his provisions bring us? Even those outside the family of God enjoy God's provisions of physical blessings. For it says that he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. However, God's spiritual blessings are only available to those of us that are in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. Only those of us that are in Christ enjoy the spiritual blessings that come from God. And until one is in Christ, he cannot enjoy the Father's provisions for man's spiritual needs. Even though these blessings are made available to every man, not every man enjoys them because not every man has obeyed the gospel. Not every man wants to hear about God. And as a child of God, I'm grateful for those provisions in my spiritual life. Jesus said, ask, it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receiveth, and he that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Church, more than anything else, we need to be knocking right now that we might receive the salvation that comes from God. And be reminded that he's given us a home, a place that's provided for us, that we don't have to suffer through anything else that this earth has to offer us. And knowing full well that eternity will know nothing of this at all. Nothing. We're blessed to be corrected by God. Too many times we find ourselves in a tangent, going our own way, doing our own thing. I'm okay, you're okay. God has promised to deal with his children as fathers deals with their sons. He says in Hebrews 12, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourgeth every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as a son. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons? Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather in subjection unto the Father of the spirits and live? Although no chastening is enjoyable, nobody wants to be chastised. Even when you're going through it, it produces, God says, peaceable and fruit of righteousness. We are blessed to have a Father who looks after us in such a way that he chastises us for our own good. Because parents just don't love their kids if they just don't discipline them. If they just let them go their own way headlong into things that they don't know anything about. The uncertainties of life. A mistake is one thing, but to make a mistake and die will never be corrected. Will never be corrected. So we take God's correction and we glorify God as a result of that. We're grateful and we live. And we live. Each and every one of us needs to learn to accept the Lord's working in his own life. We need to learn to understand the various situations in our life which we face on a day-to-day basis. All those things are not pleasant. All those are not enjoyable. But in Hebrews 5, 8 through 9, it says, even as the Son of God was made perfect through suffering, we also grow and develop spiritually through the things which we endure. We're going through a lot right now. And we don't know when it's going to end. And we should not allow the sufferings that we are going through and all the turmoil that's in this world right now to embitter us and take our minds away from God. We should be reminded that our attitude ought to be that of Paul. When God refused to move the thorn in his flesh, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in God in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. What a wonderful blessing it is to know that God is our God. What a wonderful blessing it is to know that we have the protection of a true and the living God. God protects his children from harm. Jesus said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Matthew 6:13. He's warning us about danger and falling away from God. Paul says, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. They had no temptation taken you, but such is common as to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear up under it. Paul told the church at Philippi, and let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. God's peace, that's what we need. His wonderful and glorious peace, because our God is faithful. And I'm confident to know, as a child of God, being a member of the family of God, the household of the living God, I'm confident in the knowledge that God is my keeper. The psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Need I tell you about God's love? Need I tell you about God's love as being a child of God, as being a member of his family? Need I remind you that God loves us beyond even our own imaginations? 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What a blessing it is to just be the object of love from a man or a woman. What a greater blessing it is to be the object of God's love rather than the object of his wrath. God loves us, here's the word, so. He loved us so. His love is so intense toward us that no outside force can even separate us from his love. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is it death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come? Is it height or depth or any other creature? There's nothing that's able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing separates us from the love of family except ourselves. We push ourselves away from family sometimes, much to the chagrin of the family. What a terrible time it is to not have family in your life. There are too many things that are going on in this world right now. Things that we simply don't understand, things we don't have answers for. But we have a family. We have a family of God, the church, the house of God, the church of the living God. And what a blessing it is to be a part of the church of Christ that God has given us, that he has purchased with his own blood, that he's died for. How blessed God's children are to have the love of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 15. Therefore, believers, be all the more diligent to make certain about your calling and your choosing from God. Be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God. For by doing these things, actively developing these virtues, you will never stumble in your spiritual growth and will live a life that leads others away from sin. For in this way, entering into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly provided to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and are established in the truth which is held firmly in your grasp. I will always be readily available to remind you of these things. There's too much going on around us that might cause us to forget about who God is, might cause us to forget about who we are. We are the children of God. We are part of God's family, and be reminded in all of these things. I think it right, as long as I am in this earthly tent, to inspire you by reminding you, knowing that the laying aside of this earthly tent of mine is imminent, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Moreover, I would diligently endeavor to see to it that even after my departure, you will be able at all times to call these things to mind. Peter said that to a suffering people. to the Jews of the dispersion. He says, listen, I know that I'm getting ready to die. He said, but I want to diligently endeavor that at all times these things will be called to your mind, that you remember that we have a home, a house not made with hands in the heavens. Amen. And that God is our Father, and his love and his protection and his provisions keep us from all those things that the world seems to worry about. Spiritual blessings in Christ is something that we simply cannot be too thankful for. We thank God for Jesus Christ. We thank God for our elder brother. We thank God for salvation. And all these blessings. Surely all these blessings of being a child of God should make one desire to be a part of the family of God. So how do you become a child of God? In John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, Jesus told Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. A new birth, a new birth. It's effected through the preaching of this gospel. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Paul explained how one can become a son of God through faith in Christ Jesus in Galatians chapter 3. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We become a member of the family of God, a child of God. In summary, we become one that's blessed by his love and his provisions by hearing the gospel, by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and living God, by repenting of our sin and confessing faith in Christ and being baptized in water for the remission of our sins. And when one does this, God adds him to his family. You can't join any family. God adds us to the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And let me just say this to you in closing, that God has no children today who did not become his children in this manner. Those who imply that they are children of God and all the denominations imply that there are a multiplicity of ways of becoming a child of God. That's simply not true. And that idea is not revealed in the pages of God's word. And it's contrary to the teachings of Christ and to the apostles' doctrine. There's only but one way for men to be saved through Christ. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. If you've met the conditions for salvation, you can be a part of God's family. But those who have not met the conditions for salvation are missing all the spiritual blessings available to man in and as Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. You're missing them. You're missing out on all the things that the family enjoys because you're not a part of God's family. So the question I pose to you today, once again, are you a child of God? Are you ready and willing to make the good confession that you haven't been faithful as a member of God's family? Or that you've never been a part of God's family? God calls us today to be a part of his family. He asks us to respond to his gospel and know full well that he loves us more than we can ever think or imagine and calls us to be a part of his family. We need to be reminded of that, of whose we are, and who we are, give God the glory, and let's worship him in spirit and in truth. If we can help you, why don't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song. Transition into the communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse number 23. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Let us pray. Father, we come here at this time thanking you so much for your darling son, Jesus Christ, and for his precious blood that he shed on the cross, and his body that was sacrificed in our stead. I ask that we as approach this table, Father, to remember you and your sacrifice, that we might not approach this table with a physical hunger, but that we might approach it with a spiritual hunger, Father. For if we have a physical hunger, you said, let us eat at home and not come together for condemnation. But let us come to your table, Father, with a heart that's been purified by your word and a spirit that's willing to glorify you and give you gratitude for that wonderful Jesus Christ, our Savior. As we partake of this, Father, we ask that we might not take it in a manner that will render us helpless on that great and last day, but one that will strengthen us as a community, as a family, as children of God, as we look forward to our home in heaven. These are all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.